Hello and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series, session number 2, entitled Clean Your Office. Again? Really? I'm Jill Pankost, Vice President of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, you're a graduate of our Foundations course, How to Work Less, Produce More, and Still Get the Job Done in a Sensible School Week. The purpose of this podcast series is to support our alumni in the on-the-job implementation of the Breakthrough Coach system. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. This series is designed to support and encourage you in those make-or-break moments so that you thrive as an administrative team. The purpose of today's session is to benchmark where you're at with transforming your office into an impeccable conference room, and then to offer some concrete examples of how to go about completing fundamental practice number 1. As a manager whose job it is to talk, you want nothing in your office, nothing to distract you from the work of coaching, training, and developing all who enter. Therefore, the perfect kind of environment for you to have as your office is an impeccable conference room. Fundamental practice number 1 is to transform your office into an impeccable conference room. When your office is an impeccable conference room, your productivity rises because you're present. Present to the people and conversations right in front of you, and present to the future you want to create together. Based on our experience coaching TBC graduates, we know that some of you have already made significant headway in this direction. Early attempts at transforming the office typically result in one of the following 3 scenarios. Scenario number 1, you've cleaned up, cleared out, and created an impeccable conference room for yourself. You now operate at one end of a conference table, accompanied only by your laptop and a phone. There's ample seating around the room for everyone else. The space is quiet and pristine. The conversations you conduct here are powerful. Your productivity has noticeably increased. Except there's one seemingly immovable, large object remaining in the room. It casts a visible shadow over your shoulder. You absolutely want it gone, but haven't been able to make that happen yet. I'm going to explain how to deal with this final impeccability obstacle head on so that you complete fundamental practice number 1 without lifting another finger. Scenario number 2. You've cleaned up, organized and emptied out, the stacks are gone, the drawers are purged, but all the furniture remains, the desk, the credenza, the bookshelves, the file cabinet. There's still a place for everything, waiting for everything to be put back into place. I'm going to point out the residual problems this scenario has created and how to immediately address them so that you get yourself back on the path to impeccability quickly. And finally, scenario number 3. You swear you've been throwing things away, but your office still contains multiple bookshelves packed end to end with what you call your sacred texts. A mammoth-sized lateral file cabinet braces one entire wall. You haven't even attempted to empty it yet. You've positioned your oversized desk in the middle of the room to give the appearance of a conference table, but everyone who conferences there ends up with bruised knees. Your credenza still serves as the primary landing pad for your piles. And for every bowling pin, bobblehead, birdhouse, or belt buckle you've removed, you've added a silk plant. I will address scenario number 3, both the psychology of it and the immediate steps to take to recommit to the Breakthrough Coach journey. Let's begin by addressing scenario number 1. You've cleaned up, cleared out, and created a zen-like conference room for yourself. It's pristine, empty, quiet, no paper anywhere. The constant humming of office machines has been silenced. The multicolored wall decor that once screamed for your attention, all gone. Instead, The peaceful echo of ocean waves resonates through your Bluetooth speaker. You sit calmly at your conference table like Buddha under the banyan tree. You can think. You can breathe. You are, dare I say, content. Except, there's one set of built-in cabinets hovering over your right shoulder from behind. Or there's the modular desk unit with the L extension that juts into the room. Or there's the expensive credenza that the last superintendent purchased for himself right before he quit. You're not resistant to letting any of it go. You're just not sure how to go about it. TBC clients frequently send us pictures of offices like this. What's left to do is actually quite simple, but a stretch for most, which is why it's not done yet. For those of you who see yourself in scenario one, it's time to stop fretting about what you seemingly can't do and start asking for what you want. It's time to make requests. It's time to ask your custodian to remove the built-in bookshelves and patch and paint, because this is what you want. You don't need a better reason than this. The modular desk, it's time to call maintenance and ask for someone to come disassemble it and take it away. Why? Because it's impeding your ability to do your job. No further explanation required. Want the phone or internet rewired to your conference table? You can call someone for that too. It may take 6 months for your request to be fulfilled, but it's not impossible. Start asking now, preferably in writing, and stay on the accountable party until the job is done to your satisfaction. Now, in the plus column, given your office is virtually a blank slate, maybe it's time to request that your art or design teacher come look at it with a fresh set of eyes and suggest ways to warm it up. What color paint would they recommend for the walls? What size rug would they put down on the floor? What kind of freestanding lighting could you get that would soften the glare? What could you do with an Instagram idea board and a budget of $300? Let the people right around you with the know-how, expertise, and interest help you to have what you want. Just make some requests and stay on it until your requests are fulfilled. Moving on, scenario number two. You've cleaned up, emptied out, and quieted down your office quite a bit. You're beginning to see the forest for the trees, but your office furniture still clouds your vision. The desk, the credenza, the bookshelves, the file cabinet, the printer stand, the built-ins, they're all empty, but still occupying valuable real estate. The only place to conference is at your four-seat bistro table. Your office isn't really a conference room. It's more like a tightly packed coffee bar. You're now what we jokingly refer to as a technician in a clean office. And in fact, you've created residual problems for yourself that you may not even be aware of. Problem number one, the barren furniture. It's a huge distraction for visitors. Rather than being present with you, your guests are now wondering, why is this office full of expensive, empty, taxpayer-funded case goods? Are you coming or are you going? Problem number two, if you give something a place to live, it'll live there. The universe abhors a vacuum. If the furniture remains where it is, in 3 months' time, you'll start moving crap right back in. And problem number three, your four-top bistro slash conference table slash, I don't know, it's good for drinks, appetizers, and working alone by yourself at Starbucks, but too tight for serious conferencing. People need room to speak and interact with you without the fear of banging elbows. The quick and dirty solution here, give your office to your secretary and move yourself into the actual conference room. Don't bother with any more cleaning. Don't spend any more money getting the place the way you want it. Just move into the conference room and do nothing. Then leave and go visit classrooms. Option number two, split your office down the middle. Make a request of maintenance to build a wall down the center of your office and give the technically furnished side to your secretary. Then you take the empty half. Move a conference table in on your side, install a phone and an internet line, and call it a day. The benefits of this are threefold. Your secretary finally has an appropriate space to call home. Minimal time and money is spent building you a conference room. And the two of you are positioned next door to one another. Now your secretary really is your gatekeeper. Anyone who wants to see you must pass by your secretary first. Option number three. Take a breath here. Go officeless. Have no office at all. Here's a sidebar. Did you know that if you're a manager at Mars Candy, the company that makes M&Ms, Snickers, Milky Ways, Skittles, if you're a Mars Candy manager and you're discovered in your office, that's your last day there. You're done. Because Mars managers get paid to be where the work is happening. You don't need an office to do your job. Instead, build yourself a rolling desk and every day head out on a new adventure. Conduct daily meeting in your secretary space or in the conference room with the door closed. Hold parent meetings in the conference room too. Meet with your staff on their turf. You need a quiet space to do a phone call? Head to the library or outside. Do your office work in a hallway or while sitting at the back of a classroom. When your supervisor visits, walk classrooms together and converse along the way. If you want to know with certainty what's happening in your building, if you want front office interruptions to cease, if you want to build rock-solid relationships with staff and students, then let go of your office completely and get out there. You don't need an office to do your job. Instead, be where the work is happening. The more you're out, the easier the job gets. Finally, scenario number three. I affectionately call this scenario More West to Go. Let me paint the picture again. You've spent hours cleaning, clearing, shredding, boxing up, but for reasons you can well justify, your office still warehouses a multitude of technical items, including, but not limited to, a bookshelf lined with Marzano's greatest hits because, quote, I give them to my staff. They're a coaching tool for me, unquote. An overflowing lateral file cabinet is still in there because there's data in there I look at every day. A PC with double screens is still in there because I just couldn't do my job without it. An oversized desk sits in the middle of the room because I don't have the budget for a proper table. Instructional strategy posters cover all four walls because the EL coordinator said, put these up, we're practicing alignment. And now you have a silk plant collection that rivals a botanical garden because you said we could have plants. Does this sound like you? If so, I have follow-up questions. Number one, how many hours a week are you still working? Number two, how many hours did you spend in classrooms last week? And number three, how much longer do you think your school district will keep paying you for no result? If you're a school leader who still believes you need any of the aforementioned in your office to do your job, then you're in the wrong job. The books on your shelves make no difference to the quality of your conversations with staff. The after-the-fact files in the file cabinet do not tell the same story as watching the game live from the back of a classroom. Your monstrosity of a desk in the middle of the room, you're just moving the deck chairs around the Titanic. Where you're attached to things, you suffer. And in your case, the suffering looks like 50 plus hour work weeks and too many of your students and teachers floundering. You can piecemeal the impeccability process and clear out one small corner of your office at a time, but that will cost you and everyone connected to you another 6 months that neither you nor they have. Turn your office into an actual conference room, and you'll chop 10 hours off your work week and double your time in classrooms in 1 month. Here's how to do it. Schedule 4 hours on a Saturday morning in the next 30 days to finish your office. Enroll a team of 4 to 6 Breakthrough Coach graduates to join you. You'll need extra hands to get it done in 4 hours. And of course, right, your teammates will have an easier time throwing your crap away than you do. Just promise them lunch in return for the help. Bring the appropriate tools to get the job done, including a hand truck, a minivan, at least 5 trash bins, a box of 30-gallon trash bags, a shredder, storage boxes, request and promise forms, sticky notes, power tools, and wall spackle. When you're gathered together, divvy up your team. Designate 2 people to deal with the file cabinet, preferably 2 people who've been with your district a while and have some familiarity with what's in there. Give them a large trash can, a shredder, and some file boxes, and tell them to go for it. And then get out of their way. They'll do just fine without you lurking over their shoulders. Assign 2 people to move furniture and equipment. Again, make sure they have what they need, a pull dolly, some mover's blankets, a drill, strong backs, and a good attitude. Put 1 person in charge of the bookshelves. Give them a block of post-it notes and 10 boxes. Their job is to empty the shelves and sort your sacred texts according to the following criteria: books for home and books for the staff professional library you're now going to house somewhere else, somewhere that allows for universal access and doesn't have folks hanging around the front office like it's Barnes & Noble's coffee shop. Empower 2 people to manage you and your mood. 1 person to coach you through letting go of the paperwork and making requests. The other person to serve as your consigliere, to keep you calm and focused while all this is going on around you. Do you know what a roller coaster and your mind have in common? They're both designed to make you scream. Your consigliere's job is to prevent that from happening. Finally, assign 1 team member to your personal items. This person's job is to gather all of your remaining tchotchkes, your bobbleheads, your bird feeders, your pictures, your diplomas, faux cactuses, whatever. Box them up and place them in a trunk of your car. Then you can spend next Saturday building a shrine to yourself at home where it's completely appropriate to do so. Follow this plan, and in 4 hours, you'll have the Zen-like conference room you always needed, but never knew you wanted until now. Then live like this for 3 months, and you'll never go back. We're at a moment in history when, in order to deliver on the promises you've made to your staff, your students, their families, and your supervisors, you must shift your consciousness from that of a head technician to that of an executive. Transforming your office into an impeccable conference room is fundamental practice number 1 that begins to cause this shift. Thank you for listening, for committing to the Breakthrough Coach journey, and for the remarkable job you do every day. We are honored to be able to support your efforts. This concludes podcast number 2.